Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Song of the Banjo by the Grammy Award-winning banjo player Alison Brown from her brand new album.
Alison Brown is originally from Connecticut. She went to Harvard, got an MBA at UCLA, and went to work at Smith Barney as a financial analyst.
Then she became a professional musician, even launched her own record label. Her new album, Song of the Banjo, is out today, and she'll be performing tonight at First Parish Church in Cambridge. And she's with us now with her banjo. And Alison, welcome to Radio Boston. It's great to have you.
It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
It sounds lovely, and we're looking forward to hearing you play in a moment. But I'd love to just sort of ask you a little bit about your passion for the banjo. When did you start playing it, and what caused you to fall in love with it?
Well, that's really kind of the million-dollar question. When I was about 10 years old growing up in Connecticut, I heard Earl Scruggs' Foggy Mountain Banjo record for the first time, and just fell in love with that sound. To me, it really evoked a part of America that I wasn't familiar with at all, so I instantly developed all these very romantic notions about the American South and was just very captivated by the music.
Yeah, it's got a wonderful, wonderful sound. I've always loved the banjo. As we mentioned in that introduction, you went to Harvard, UCLA, got an MBA, you worked in finance, and then you made what to many might have sounded at that moment like a crazy decision to give it all up for the banjo, right?
Yeah, my parents certainly would have called it a crazy decision. They weren't terribly impressed by the choice at the time, but I worked with a lot of folks at Smith Barney who had a real love for tax-exempt debt, and I have a lot of respect for those folks, but I wasn't really one of them.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking about the banjo and reading my copy of Bluegrass Unlimited magazine sitting at my desk with it hidden inside the bond buyer, and I just got up the nerve one day to just devote myself to music for a little while and see what might happen.
Yeah, and it worked out, right?
It did. Every time I've come to one of those crossroads where I could have gone back to a more respectable way of making a living, the siren call of the banjo has gotten me again.
But was it a difficult transition or a difficult explanation for the transition to explain to some people? Like, for example, your parents, who you said were among the people who might have said, no, don't give this up.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those who thinks that huge decisions can be made in baby steps. And for me, it was a series of baby steps that have kind of gotten me to the place where I am. I initially was going to allow myself like a six-month hiatus from the real business world. And then as luck would have it, Alison Krauss called me up at the end of that 6 months and was looking for a banjo player. And she said, why don't you come play a show with me? And turned out that show was at Sanders Theater at Harvard. So in some ways, it kind of all came full circle at that point.
So your new album, The Song of the Banjo, is out today. What's behind this album? What's the sort of encompassing theme here?
Well, I really believe that the banjo can have a lot more mainstream popularity than it currently does. And I like to reflect on the fact that back in the end of the 1800s, the banjo was the most popular instrument in America. And in fact, there were banjo makers, including Fairbanks here in Boston, making mass-producing banjos, and young Victorian ladies were encouraged to play the banjo as a very respectable instrument for a young woman to play. And to have a banjo in your parlor back then was kind of like having a leaf in your garage would be today. It was considered a real status symbol. So with this record, I really wanted to kind of shine a light on the lyrical and beautiful side of the instrument, and in the hopes of hopefully drawing a few more fans to the banjo.
All right. Well, you've got your banjo on your lap, and you're here with Brian McDowell. He's here with his mandolin, and you're going to play us something.
Yeah, so we thought we'd play a few songs by Stephen Foster, who was America's first hit songwriter, and he would have written these tunes between the 1820s and the 1840s. And some of them are so much a piece of the American vernacular that I know they won't need any introductions, including this first one. Thank you.
All right, that's fantastic. Grammy Award-winning banjo player Alison Brown. She won a Grammy in 2001 for Best Country Instrumental Performance. She's here in the studio at Radio Boston with mandolin player Brian McDowell. Congratulations, guys. That was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we should say that Alison's going to be performing tonight at First Parish Church in Cambridge. Alison, you know, a few years ago, I was just telling you this before we went on the air, I had a great opportunity to talk to Bella Fleck, the great banjo player, and I talked to him a little bit about this idea that the banjo hasn't always gotten the respect it deserves. You know, it's sort of, some people think of it as, a hillbilly instrument and sort of don't take it beyond that. Mm-hmm. What do you want people to understand about the banjo that maybe they don't understand?
Well, you know, I think people really need to think about the longer history of the instrument and the fact that, you know, it had its tradition in minstrelsy, it had a tradition in classic music, which is the music that these women that I referred to in their parlors were playing, and then, of course, at the birth of jazz, the banjo was there. I think it's just because Earl Scruggs and bluegrass music and clear channel radio and then later network television all kind of came up at the same time that the hillbilly image of the instrument is so pervasive in the American consciousness. But
yeah,
really, as Bela Shone and others, you know, the banjo can do lots of really beautiful lyrical things and have a role in lots of different kinds of music. So I encourage people to give it a chance. It really is a great instrument.
I read a great description how you describe the banjo is basically a drum with strings on it. I love that idea.
Yeah, I like that idea too, because to me it really embraces the notion that the instrument had African origins, but it's actually America's first instrument. And the way it came together really represents our nation in a way.
Mm.
The African influence and the European influence blended into one instrument.
So it really represents a sort of musical, it's an instrument almost of musical evolution. Do you see its role still evolving in music? Where do you think it's going?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. I mean, when I started playing bluegrass banjo, the instrument really was relegated to all those endless reruns of hee-haw. But nowadays, you'll hear banjo in pop music, and you'll hear banjo at Symphony Hall, and it's finding its way into a lot of different places. And I'd love to see it reclaim its place as America's most popular instrument someday.
Well, you'll be performing tonight at First Parish Church in Cambridge, and this is sort of a bit of a homecoming for you because you went to Harvard back in the 1980s. I'm wondering, What was the bluegrass folk scene like back then in Cambridge?
I'm really glad you asked. Actually, you know, as I was trying to decide whether I should come to Cambridge or go to New Haven, I picked up my copy of Bluegrass Unlimited magazine and looked in the back at all the great bluegrass events and folk events in Boston, and it was really a no-brainer. I mean, Boston has always been, I think, one of the strongest markets for folk music in the country, and thanks to folks like you all, that's still true today.
All right. Well, that's Alison Brown. She's a Grammy Award-winning banjo player. Her new album is The Song of the Banjo, and you can catch her playing tonight at the First Parish Church in Cambridge. To find out more, go to our website, radioboston.org. And Alison, thanks so much for coming in today. We really appreciate
it. Thanks so much for having us.
And Brian McDowell on mandolin, thank you.
Well, that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Our show is produced by Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Brusek. We had help today from Adam Asher, Virginia Marshall, and Caitlin O.
Caitlin O'Keefe.
That would be a typo in our scripts.
We're human. We're all human here. Tim Skoog is our technical director.
Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a wonderful weekend. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.